The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Tonight, God bless you on Facebook that's listening, you or that may be on the FM channel. God bless you as we get into Bible study tonight. How many of you are glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? How many are glad to be here? We're glad to be in the house. We're glad you're listening. We're hoping that you'll be here. And those that are outside the Warsaw area, I know that it's tough for you to be here, but praise God that you're listening and you're being ministered to, you're being fed, and you're excited, and we just want to see you blessed. And those that are listening, we just want to remind you about this weekend. Saturday, we're having a hog roast and chili outreach and dinner, and it's going to be a good time around 4 o'clock in the afternoon here in Warsaw, here at the church. So come and enjoy some time with us. Let us know you're coming. Let us know that you're going to be there, and we want to, what's that? No, it's 4 o'clock starts. Yeah, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's going to be good. It's going to be good fellowship, some great chili. You don't want to miss out on that, and some good fellowship. And so we're glad that you're listening. So God bless you, and know that you're welcome to join us. And we were on Sunday, mostly in John chapter 4, and we were talking about the living water, and we were talking about the woman at the well. And I'm sure most of you have heard the story through Bible study or reading in John chapter 4 about the woman at the well, and it's a wonderful biblical account, and it touches my heart because it shows the compassion of Jesus. It gives us a mighty example in the Lord. And there's so much scriptures tonight, I don't know if I can get through all of them and do it justice, because there's so much wealth here. There's so many golden nuggets in John chapter 4 and how Jesus talks to his disciples and how Jesus ministers to the woman at the well and one that feels that she's an outcast and the different things that happens and how he talks to her and helps her and how she gets a revelation of who he is. And isn't that awesome? How many of us lived our whole life not recognizing who Jesus was, not recognizing the things of God, not recognizing when God was speaking to us, but then there was a moment of revelation that occurred when we heard that small, still voice and we knew that there was one speaking to us that loved us and cared for us. And as the Word, as we read it, it touches us. And then we have living water that flows out of us, that those of us that would believe in him. And in today's age, people have kind of messed up believe in. Too many times today, people say, well, I believe in this. And it's like putting a notch on a belt or putting a bead on a majestic thing. That, oh, I believe in that, and click, I'm good. But the Bible's talking about believing, in other words, trust in. And the Word of God says, trust in the Lord. Right? And lean not on your own understanding. And believing in is more than just I have a belief about. It's about that trust, that putting aside the things of the world, amen, and looking for God, looking for Jesus, that we put our faith in him, that we put our trust in him. Because if you go seeking after the things of the world, you're going to find yourself seeking more and more after the world because it's going to leave you empty. Hello? The things of the world will leave you thirsty and dry. And in today's age, we see so many people looking for something that gives them fulfillment in the world instead of in the Word. And we as Christians need to help people lift up their eyes to Jesus and show them and tell them that there's a more excellent way, because that is the only way. If you get anything out of tonight, putting your life in the hands of Jesus Christ and turning your eyes onto him and putting your faith and your trust and believing in him is the only way that's going to fulfill you in life. You and I are going to seek things to make us feel happy, to fill us up, and all they are is a false god. All they are is something that doesn't quench the thirst that we really need. It will find us empty, because we will chase little green fish thinking that we're everything in a bag of chips. We'll chase salmon and everything in hunting, that things are okay, and that will make me happy, and sooner or later that's not going to be enough. Some people will chase a beer or some alcoholic beverage or something or some drug that satisfies them, but it's only for a moment. It doesn't satisfy you for eternity. Too many people will do things of this world that chase things, no matter what hobby it is these days, you can name it. They will put their faith in that. They will put their money in that. They will put their time in that. How come people can put all kinds of time into something and not anything with God? You see, because people today are searching for anything, and Jesus is saying, come to me. Come to me. I'm the one that can fulfill the things in your life. I'm the one that can give you peace that passes all understanding. I'm the one that can provide joy in a time of need. I'm the one that can provide a drink of water spiritually, not just physically. I'm going to start switching gears on you from Sunday, because we attributed the physical and the spiritual things, and too many people today will chase after anything and everything to drink, right? How many of you can name a beverage? How many beverages can you name? How many do we have in America? We got all kind of pops. We got tea. We got coffee. We got raspberry tea. We got blueberry drinks. We got pineapple. We got all these energy drinks. In America, why would anybody go thirsty? You just go to the convenience store. But you see, that same physical thing can occur spiritually, because we look for everything else. Oh, I'm tired of this drink. Put it aside. I want to have this drink. This one tastes good today. Oh, I don't like this drink anymore. I'm going to put that one down. I'm going to go after this. How many of you know people that do that with alcohol, with drugs, with sports, with hobbies, with different things? Everything else to satisfy them except God. Right? And anything you put, you got to understand this, and people don't like to hear this. If you start putting all these things before God, you've created an idol in your life and worshiping that. And before you know it, like this guy, I'll forsake everything to go after that. Whatever it takes to make me successful. If I think that I can get to the top in my job and I'm going to put everything into it to get to the top, well, what happens when I'm not? What happens if I put all my eggs in this basket that I'm going to be somebody in a bag of chips? I'm ministering to people right now that they've put all their eggs in one basket, and what they were looking for did not work out, and now they're devastated. What they thought was going to satisfy them, what they thought was going to help them, what was going to propel them, what was going to help them be financially successful and break through in their life, and it was all going to be good, and all is crumbling because God wasn't in it. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom. What are we seeking today? What are we seeking? Are we seeking after material things? Are we seeking after things of God that will fill us and will be the ultimate fulfillment in your life? I didn't know this. I did everything but what I'm telling you. I had to make a 180. And I still to this day have to learn and watch that I don't get pulled in to stuff that would pull me away from God. Hello? You see, Jesus is the ultimate thirst quencher. If you're thirsty for something in life and you're looking for something and you don't know what it is, can I get you to focus on Jesus? If things haven't worked out like you wanted, I wanted to have all this by the time I was 20. I wanted to have all this by the time I was 30. I wanted to have all this by the time I was 50. What if those things don't come? And now there's disappointment in your life. I've been looking for this and looking for that. It's only through Jesus can you find true fulfillment and knowing your purpose. Do you know your purpose tonight? Have you sought God for what you're called to do? Because until you find that calling, that purpose, you'll be looking all over for everything else to satisfy you. But when you find the thing that drives you, that's in line with the Word of God, instead of drives you away from God, you'll find fulfillment and joy. Amen? Amen. And we talked about in John chapter 4, and if you go there, it's a wonderful biblical account because if you look, remember in John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a rabbi, remember? He was I'll just read a bit of it in John chapter 3. He was a man of the Pharisees. In other words, he was a religious man. In John chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them." And he tells Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3, he says, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty direct. When he ministered to Nicodemus, he knew Nicodemus knew the law. He knew that he had some biblical teaching. He had some background to him, and he had to get right in Nicodemus and say, "Listen, you must be born again. You think that you can do all this according to the law, and it ain't going to work for you. You must be born again." Right? But the beautiful thing about John chapter 4 is he talks to a Samaritan woman at the well, and he's got, it's so beautiful as we read, the grace and the mercy that he has for a woman that knew that she had sinned. And Jesus doesn't beat her up about it. Jesus doesn't right in her face and make her feel bad. Jesus knew how to touch the heart of a person to help them identify that they needed a Savior. And Jesus was that Savior, that the Messiah was Christ. He was the one to be the Savior of the world. So let's read. I do not have enough time to do the whole chapter justice. So I'm thinking there might be some other messages coming. We'll see how it works out. But look at this beautiful scripture. I hope it touches your heart. And those that may be listening tonight that know that there's been some problems in your life, there's been some sin in your life, there's been people that have put you down in your life, there's been some people that haven't welcomed you, that look at you and they look down upon you, I pray that you're encouraged tonight. You listen, and if somebody's put you down and isolated you tonight, that you be encouraged tonight. It says, "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria, so he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar." I've heard it also say I think it's Sychar. Sychar. I've heard it both ways. So near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, I did some studying in this, and I was even doing some studying today about this because he had to go to the north. And if you look in your study guides, and I got this beautiful picture that Pastor printed for me, and I've got some in mine, where he had to go north, and he had to go through the country of Samaria. However, there was a problem with people in that time with Samaria. There was a big distinction and a big problem between the way they worshipped between the Jews and the Samaritans. And if you're a devout Jew, many would actually go to a land to the east and actually cross the Jordan River, go back up to the north, and go back into Galilee. But Jesus had to go through Samaria. Now, I don't believe that he went there because that was a shortcut. I believe he went there because he was compelled to go through there. There was something special. He was going. He had a purpose and a plan. He had an appointment. And sometimes we got to remember that sometimes we have to go into some areas. Jesus didn't hold grudges. He didn't have problems with talking to people. He didn't look down on people. He went to minister, and you'll see in the scriptures here, because there was a big division in how the Samaritans worshipped and how the Jews worshipped. It says, now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, sat thus by the well. We talked about that just a little bit ago on Sunday. I wanted to go a little bit deeper than what I did on Sunday, because he says Jesus was weary. You know, we serve a mighty King. We've given our hearts to Jesus, and he's one that knows what we go through. Amen. He was faced every situation we faced, but he didn't sin. He knows and he has compassion of what we go through. He knew what it was like to be weary. He knew what it was like to be thirsty. Right? When he was in the wilderness, he knew what it was like to be hungry. He knew what it was like to be tempted by the enemy. He knew what it was like to have the devil come against him. Right? So he's been through situations, and he knows and he has compassion for what you're going through. And he knows how to fulfill you when you are weary. Are you here? A woman, it says, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now, in my Bible study verses, the Jewish time, the reckoning, the sixth hour was 12 o'clock noon, so it would be the hot point of the day. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. This is where it really gets good. Now, in this time, in this age, not only was there a problem between the Jews and Samaritans, but there's also a problem with the Samaritan women. There was a big disconnect. They were looked down upon. That was enough of a problem, and then look and watch what else happens. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the women of Samaria said to him, "Who is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Well, guess what? Neither did the Samaritans have any dealings with the Jews. There was a great big disconnect here. Jesus answered and said to her, and I've got this highlighted in my Bible, it says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." There's so many people today, if they just knew the gift of God and they knew when God, if they truly knew when God was near them and recognized God in their life. How many of you ministered to people and they just reject everything about the Word of God? They don't even see the compassion that's in you. They cannot recognize it yet. It's like the God of this age has blinded their eyes, that they don't even see the love and compassion. Here Jesus is talking to this woman, and during this time, that wouldn't be allowed. That would be, not only would it not be favorable being a Samaritan, but also a Samaritan woman, that was viewed in those days as unclean. But Jesus is going to talk to her. Jesus doesn't run from her. Jesus doesn't look down upon her. Jesus starts talking to her about physical and spiritual things, and he ministers to her so softly and so gently. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water?" And I've read some areas that say, here this lady is looking for living water, because during those days, that living water would be like a creek or flowing. Where's this so I don't have to go to this well? And it looks like to me that she's just thinking about water physically to sustain her. But Jesus is going to flip the switch here and start talking spiritual things to encourage her and reach us today. And look what it says. It says, "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" It's almost like a rhetorical question, isn't it? It's like, are you greater? Yeah, he kind of is. Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst." Listen, you're going to grow thirsty and thirsty and more thirsty as we go through these dry seasons. But there's a drink that Jesus provides that will satisfy you. You can go through a lot of stuff, but there's one, and his name is Jesus. It's what we're all about here at the River. No dancing around tonight, no jumping. It's flat, direct. This says, listen, if you're searching for something in life and you found yourself empty, if you found yourself dry, can I point you to Jesus tonight? If life has just gave you all kind of problems and trials and struggles, can I get you towards Jesus tonight? You've been searching and searching for purpose in your life, wanting things to change, wanting things to get better. The world has left many people empty, but Jesus won't leave you empty. I've heard people say, well, you know, God is a God of love. He just allows anything to happen. Well, he is a God of love, but he's also a God of a just God and a righteous God, that he doesn't leave you where you're at. And Jesus sees this woman's problem, sees her need, and isn't going to allow her to stay the same. It's a beautiful, beautiful biblical account. He says, "But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Listen, you're going to grow thirsty with the physical things, but when you have given your heart to Jesus, there's an impartation of that flowing river that is in you, the Holy Spirit is in you, that you can be satisfied even in the driest of times. It's amazing how people can go through such heartaches, but they have the Lord on the inside and they make it through fine. I talked about on Sunday about the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack anything. When you go through the dry times and the seasons of lack, but yet you can find fulfillment and peace and joy when you've given your heart to Jesus. You can have a marriage or a home, a total disaster, job, but you can get in your word and the word of God jumps off the pages and fills your heart and gives you peace of mind. How is that possible? It's that living water. It's not stagnant. It helps us because we as Christians, we believe in the Lord. We've died to self and put our belief, our trust in him, that we now have living water that should flow out of us. If it's not flowing out of you, we need to check our source. Because as a Christian, we should be getting filled up by the Word of God and being filled up with the Holy Spirit that we may be a blessing to others. Amen? I'm trying to teach tonight because I'm trying to get us focused, because too many things today in 2020 have our eyes on everything else to satisfy us. And it's in this age, in this time, as we live in these perilous times, people are like, well, what am I going to do here? What am I going to do this? Oh, what if we don't get another stimulus check? What am I going to do? Oh, if this doesn't happen, what am I going to do? If this doesn't happen, what am I going to do? Put your trust in Jesus Christ tonight. Amen. Let the wind blow. Let the problems happen. But put your faith in Jesus and know that he can get you through the storm. Amen? Amen? How many have had to put their trust in Jesus in the storms of life? Not knowing how you're going to get through it. You have no other options except to put your faith in Jesus Christ. And I think it's time that some people say, I surrender. Amen. Amen. You can keep going against the goads all you want. You can keep going against the system all you want. And the Lord wants you to come to Him, just like He wanted this woman to come to Him. Just like in John chapter 7, He says, all those that are thirsty, come to Him. He's calling you tonight. Too many of us have been resisting, and it's time to surrender and come to the Lord. Amen. The time is growing short. Amen? He shall supply all your needs. He shall supply that joy, that peace. The woman said to Him, Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. She's still looking at the water, isn't she? She's still looking at the physical thing. There's too many people still looking at the physical things, and we need to have our eyes on the spiritual things of the Lord. Amen? Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, You have well said, I have no husband. And He says, For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. You see, Jesus knows. Jesus knows what's going on. He knows whether you think He does or not. But He doesn't beat her up about it. He identifies with her to say, Listen, I know this. And the woman said to Him, Sir, I perceive you that you are a prophet. So at least she identified something in Him, didn't she? How many of you know people that just don't seem to identify anything about you with God? Some people you would say that to and it's instant fight. You're attacking me. You're judging me. But she didn't do that, did she? She's taken back and she's like, I recognize that there's something different about you. You're trying to help me. And she doesn't fight. She doesn't yell. She doesn't scream. But she does try to bounce off of what's going on. How many of you know people that do that? You start talking to them about the things in their life. You start talking to them about all the problems they have and come to Jesus. And they want to deflect from it. Are you here? They want to say, you want to talk about how things can be better, a more excellent way, and you bring up the sin, you bring up the fornication, you bring up the different things, and they're like, oh, and they just want to fight. You're judging me. But this woman doesn't. She goes, I perceive you're a prophet. I see something godly in you. I see there's something, you're telling me something that no one else knows. But look what she does. She wants to divert. Don't talk about me. Let's talk about this. Our fathers worshipped on the mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. That's the whole problem between the Samaritans and the Jews at this time. They wanted to worship on one mountain, and the Jews worshipped on a different mountain. And they're bitter about it. She's trying to sidestep. He's trying to minister, but she's trying to sidestep when he's trying to engage her. Do you know people like that? You're trying to engage them to identify the things in their life that are not right and not pleasing to God? Yeah, come on. Hello? And she's trying to sidestep it. And too many people are trying to sidestep and find other things to talk about instead of getting real and dial into the fact that it's time to get right with God. Don't look at my life. Don't look. We're going to change the subject now. But Jesus is so graceful. He's like, look what he said. He said, Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me that the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. He says, there's going to be a time where it's not going to matter. Hello? these people that want to say that we worship this way in church. You got to come to my church and worship this way. You got to worship this way and come to my church. And there's debates on churches in the community that we worship this way. And my pastor talks this way. And I like it better over here. And we worship this way. We like the music over here. So that must be where God's at because I like that. It makes me feel good. They have more lights over there so I can worship the way I want there. They don't play any praise music and it's real quiet and I like that. So I can worship my way there. Hello? I worship over here. I like it this way. We don't dance and sing and clap. We're just quiet before the Lord. That's our worship. But you people over there are fanatics and zealots because you worship with high praise. You know anybody like that? He says, there's going to come a time where that ain't going to matter. Whether you worship over there or you worship over there. He says, the time will come, the hour is coming when you will neither on that mountain or this or in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. Ouch. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The Jews were right at that time. They worshiped there. There are big arguments going on here. He says, but the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers, I have this highlighted in my Bible, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Now, these lights are nice. This music is nice. Turning down the lights a little bit is nice. And how do you worship the Lord? He says, in spirit and in truth. Too many times a day, there is divisions in the body of Christ on how to worship. What's the right way to worship? How do we worship? People will argue and say that high praise is not of God, and I beg to differ. They say that clapping and drums and guitars and all that is not of God, and I beg to differ. It's in the Bible. To give Him high praise, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, I worship this way. I worship my own way. I worship. You gotta read the Bible. Well, I don't like to praise that way. It says in spirit and in truth, not in the flesh. That's a deeper topic. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Are we cultivating that relationship to worship Him the way He wants to be worshiped? Or is it all about a show? Because too many churches today have made it an entertainment experience. They've tried to make it like Hollywood. It's not, praise and worship is not designed to be this entertainment show to compete like Hollywood. There's supposed to be something inside you that wants to and desires to worship the one that when you get this revelation of what He's done for you and what He means to you and how important He is to you, that there's something that transforms your spiritual walk and you as you and I who worship Him in spirit and in truth. Yes, not in the things of light shows and smoke flying, all these. Those may add to some experience, but where's the heart? True worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. This heartfelt love for the Lord, not entertain me. Come on, amen? Too many people will come to church and go, entertain me in praise and worship. Let's sing three fast songs, two slow songs, and a couple hymns. Not here at the River. We're led by the Holy Spirit to worship Him. We're not here to entertain. We're here to lift Him up. When the praises go up, the blessings come down.
Amen.
Too many people will come to church going, well, I just don't feel like praising. That's flesh. That's flesh.
Amen.
That's not the Spirit. That's not the truth. That's the flesh not wanting to be aligned with the Word of God. That's, I'd almost have to say that's almost rebellious.
Come on.
People don't like to hear that. But are you challenged tonight, and maybe those watching, that go, listen, it's not about an entertainment show. I'm not the best drummer that there is. There's a lot of good drummers. There's a lot of good guitar players out there. But do you have a heart for God? Have you examined your heart this Sunday? That we put aside the different methods and of the flesh and different things, and we get our eyes on Jesus. Because at that moment in time is when you're going to find yourself, just like on Sunday morning, you may come in one way, but you find yourself filled with the Holy Spirit. Because you haven't paid attention to the lights, you haven't paid attention to the person next to you. You see, if you're too worried about the person next to you, are you really worshiping in spirit and in truth? It's time to let go of that stuff. And maybe the Lord's challenging all of us because He's seeking those to worship Him. Are we in a new season maybe of worship? Maybe is God wanting to draw us higher? Maybe God's wanting to draw you. I can envision a picture right now. Is God wanting to take you from the bank to a couple inches into the water?
Yeah.
Too many times people worship on the bank, and it's time to get all in and allow the Holy Spirit to move amongst you and not quench the Spirit. I'm hearing of churches all around the land, the Holy Ghost is wanting to move on people's life and people are just quenching it. They're quenching the Spirit and God's wanting to bring you into the depths of worship. This wasn't even my notes, this is just bonus for tonight. I believe the Lord has a word for somebody that to draw you into an area of your life that you just let go and let God. Too many times if you can correlate and you can put together a life that is not all in for God, you'll find yourself also one that's not all in for praise and worship. But when you allow yourself to be saturated with the living water, are you here? And you worship the King of Kings, you say, not my ways, your ways, Lord. I'm not worried about who's to my left. I'm not worried about to my right. I know what you've brought me through this week, and I'm going to praise you. Maybe in your living room tonight as you're watching, maybe it's time that you just fall on your knees before God and you lift up a praise and a shout unto Him for what He's brought you through this week alone. Because when you start understanding the relationship, you'll praise Him for what He's done for you. He paid a price that no one else could pay. He died for our sins. He's worthy to be praised, the Word of God says. Ah, I got on a big rabbit trail there. It's time that we allow the moving of the Holy Spirit to affect us in a way that causes us to want to go deeper and further. And not just stand, I'm just going to have just enough of God that I need and I'm going to get my toes wet. I'm talking about diving in to where you have an experience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm talking about where you have a God encounter. You know that the Holy Spirit touched you. I knew Sunday that the Lord had touched me in a way that He was moving to see who would draw near to Him. Ah. And Jesus is doing the same thing in these scriptures. Will the woman come to Him? Or will she reject Him? Will you come to Jesus? Or will you reject Him? Doesn't the Word of God say in John chapter 7, we read this on Sunday. He says, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. It's time to get wet. It's time to be saturated with the living water. It's time to move deeper in the water, as Ezekiel shows us. It says, let him come to me and drink. It's time for you to come to Jesus. He says, he who believes in me, and I talked about this at the beginning. In America today, we've messed up believes in. Can you trust him? Can you let go of the flesh and worship him the way he desires to be worshipped? It says, believe in me, as the scriptures have said, and out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Listen, I want to encourage you tonight and anyone here, that we step out deeper into a level of worship and praise, that you feel that living water flowing through you, that you're no longer dry. There's all kind of churches all around the land that are dry because they quench the moving of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We don't want to do that here. The Bible says don't quench the Spirit. I'm on a big rabbit trail that was not anywhere in my notes. There's a new sound coming. I'm going to prophesy that. Amen. I'm prophesying that there's a new sound coming, that we would hear the sound.
Come on.
Ah, man. Come on, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. This is in verse 25. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Wow. Here the woman is face to face with the King of Kings. And I'm running out of time, but I'm going to try to keep going through here. I'm not doing it half the justice that the Word of God deserves. I pray you get in here and get revelation. We'll have more teaching and that. Let's look at what verse 27 says. And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot. That's important. Went her way into the city and said to the man. How many of you have heard in the scriptures how when Jesus says, come, and you leave that old stuff behind. It's time to leave that old man aside, that fleshly way of entertain me, that fleshly way of that I've come to be entertained, but yet when I come to worship and praise this Sunday, it's to lift up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. My whole purpose and goal is to do that. She says, and it says, the woman then left her water pot, went her way in the city, and said to the men. Now this woman was in a sinful lifestyle. She was a Samaritan woman, but yet Jesus spoke to her and touched her life. And now she's empowered. Though she felt aside, though she felt like she wasn't important, she was an outcast, she went to the heat of the day instead of all the women in the morning, she had to walk, I don't know how far it is from the well from Sychar, she didn't get up in the morning and join all the other women, she was in the heat of the day getting water as an outcast, and here, now she has purpose. She's going to go talk to men who wouldn't give her the time of day. You know anybody like that wouldn't give you the time of day? But God does something supernaturally in you. There's revelation in you that you're important, that you're important to God, that you have a purpose in life, that God has appointed you to do great things. Given here she is feeling like she's an outcast. She's had five husbands. The one she's with isn't giving her any satisfaction in life. And Jesus comes and tells her about living water, and she finds fulfillment and now is going to go talk to someone. And she says, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. And I'm going to tell you, I'm saying that to you tonight. Come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. He showed me with grace and love, not with a bat and a Scofield Bible. He showed me the things according to His Word that was displeasing to Him. And if I would repent and turn, I could have this living water and I could be satisfied in my life. Everything else I did not satisfy me. It was short-term gratification. It was for a season until that didn't work, and I spent all my money here. And that didn't work, and I spent all my time here. And that didn't work, and I went down this road. And I thought I was going to get rich over this, and that didn't work. And all I had to do was get my eyes on Jesus. And here, look at this woman. She's found some purpose, and God is using her, and God can use you.
Amen.
I don't care what you've done. This woman was in Samaria as a Samaritan. Was outside the will of God, but now she's going to get in line with God, going to believe on Jesus, believe in Jesus, that He's the Christ, and now has found purpose. What a wonderful story. What a wonderful change in events that can happen to every person we meet. How many of you know people that don't look good, they don't look this, they don't look that, people look down upon them, and God still has a purpose for them? They can be on rock bottom. They can be homeless. They can be without a job. They can be a prostitute. They can be whatever. They can be in fornication. They can be homosexual. They can have all these things that are not in line with the Word of God. And God still has a plan and a purpose for them if they would turn.
Amen.
And know the gift of God that's standing before you.
Amen.
Ah, if people only knew the gift of God, you don't have to buy it. You all you have to do is receive. Have you received your gift? Hallelujah. When you receive the gift of God, you are fulfilled. And that emptiness is gone, and you replace that with the Holy Spirit, who gives you joy and peace. Are there still going to be storms? Yes. But at least you don't have to go it alone anymore. You don't have to feel like no one loves you, because Jesus does love you. Ah. She says, could this be the Christ? I think she was looking for something and couldn't find it. There's a lot of people out there that are looking. And let me tell you found it tonight. His name is Jesus. Here at the River, we're lifting up Jesus that you may be satisfied and filled. Then they went out of the city and came to Him. In the meantime, His disciples urged Him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But He said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Huh. Look what He's going to do here. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought Him anything to eat? I'm not hungry. Who brought Him a sandwich? Which one of you did it? I'm not hungry. But look what Jesus said. I love this verse. This is one of the most powerful verses that I've come across in the Bible to bless you tonight. And in verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. He's getting His disciples. Now He's teaching His disciples that there's something more important than food. There's something more important than the food this weekend. Hello? The food is going to be great. But the spiritual condition of the people's lives that are coming to enjoy dinner with us is more important to me. The food is just something to bless people with. There's going to be a bottle of water to satisfy the thirst. There's going to be a pulled pork sandwich to satisfy the hunger. But the Bible says that those that are thirsty and hungry for Him will be filled. Let me tell you, there is a filling station here at the River that if you are looking for something more in life, find it. Find your purpose here at the River. We're not going to tell you. We're going to help you get in the Word of God and have God show you what your plan and your purpose is, that you may be fulfilled and satisfied more than just a sandwich. You'll be good for a night. I got it. But joy comes in the morning. There's something more important Jesus is trying to help us with. It says, my food. In other words, what sustained Jesus, what filled him up, and I hope that it fills us up to find satisfaction because I've dealt with this. Where you look to this and you look to that, and the reality is our food, our fulfillment, our sustenance should be found doing the will of the Father. If not, we need to be in prayer. Because let me tell you, when you find your purpose doing work for the Father, and you see people come to Christ, and you see people getting baptized, that's my food. I may be weary, but when I see fruit happening, and I see a barren land, and I start to see fruit in people's life, that gives me that fulfillment and joy to fill me up in the weariest of times. Because ministering to people and them not receiving will wear you out. And that's why we try to encourage people at the river so they may be filled up. These lone rangers that want to minister on their own. I got it, but you need to get filled up too. You need to be under a covering, under a place that I talked about on Sunday where the glory pours out. In line with His Word. Amen? My food is to do the will of Him who sent me. God has sent you. He's sending you to reach those people. He's saying to go out. You can't spell God without go, Pastor Burkhart used to say. Look at this. You know, I'm running out of time, but I'll get through them. The word says in verse 35, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? I'm not all sure about that verse, but all I know is it's time now. In other words, if you've been saying, well, there's another time, there may be Christmas time. Maybe Christmas time is the harvest. No, I need you to look out there right now as the combines are running, as the big trucks are running. The harvest is now. Now's the time. Now's the time before it's too late because you don't know when somebody's going to take their last breath. Don't procrastinate. Basically, that saying is a lot of people are procrastinating these days and go, well, we got time. They'll come to Jesus when they're ready. How many of you heard that? You might as well be saying the same thing. They'll come to Jesus when they're ready. Well, they haven't been ready for 20, 30, 40 years. When are you going to tell them about a more excellent way?
Come on, Pastor.
Amen?
Come on.
Plant the seed. Plant the seed. Behold, I say to you, this is Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look. In other words, get them up. Get them up and look. Put your eyes on Jesus. Look at the fields, for they're already white for harvest. The fields are ready. The fields are ready. It's time. It's time. You can tell it. The farmers get happy right about now. Are you ready to reap and sow and plant and harvest? Look what it says. He says, and he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Hello? So whether you're sowing or planting or harvesting, you receive wages. And there's a reward for that. But look what else it says. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. Listen, I'm going to tell you one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. And it's been a long time coming. Is I've been on the side of the street where you're just planting seeds, planting seeds, planting seeds, planting seeds. And others are doing the work. They're watering. And then all of a sudden you're at the right place at the right time, at the right word, at the right season, because the harvest is ready. And all of a sudden, there's something you say or God gives you and you do, and you're in the right place, and you reap the harvest that you didn't even labor.
Amen.
I'm used to being the other one, where you're just plowing all the time. Plowing's tough. Plowing takes some energy. But it's nice when you're just driving the combine and say, come on. Come on to Jesus. He says, listen, I sent you to reap. Somebody may have been ministering to your family members. You don't even know it. And just inviting them and letting them know that Jesus loves them. Does he know the sin? Yeah. But he died for the sin. He died that they may be set free. I'm going to try to get through this. And look in verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. They believed in him. Him is capital. Because of the word of the woman. Women, you have purpose. In this day, in that day, they were put down because they were Samaritan women. And she went out with purpose and drive because she knew that God had touched her and come near her. Women, you have a purpose. I know so many women today, they're beat down, like they don't have any purpose. But listen, you are called to ministry. You have a purpose. Many believed in Jesus because of what the woman spoke. You have power in your words. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with him, and he stayed there 2 days. Do you imagine what they learned in 2 days? Can you imagine just Jesus showing up and just here for 2 days, just being ministered to? Isn't that awesome? And the word says, and many more believed because of his own word. And they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him. And we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Not just Samaria, not just of Israel, not just of Fort Wayne, not of just California, not of just Maine, but of the whole world. Jesus indeed is the Christ and the Savior of the world. He died for all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You today can have eternal life. You have purpose. You may have found yourself isolated. You may have found yourself, I may be just pulling at your heartstrings, knowing that there's sin in your life, knowing that there's been rejection in your life, knowing that we put everything else before God. I got it. But he still saved me. He still thought I was worthy to die for. You have value and you have purpose. If you're listening to this message, let me tell you, women, men, you have purpose. The people that put you down and life has been tough. I'm dealing in ministry with people that are homeless. They don't know where to turn. Jesus. There's people that are addicted to alcohol and they don't know how to get out of it. Jesus. There's sin in our lives and we don't know how to get out of it. It's called repentance and turn. And by faith, we believe he is Lord. Jesus is Lord of my life. It turns our whole perspective when we realize in this biblical account, and I in the short time I have, I haven't done it what I felt is good enough, is how wonderful this is. And a message for you and I that whenever we felt rejected. You ever felt like the Samaritan that was in the... You ever felt like the one that was in the ditch? You ever felt like you weren't worthy, but Jesus died and gave you purpose? There's people at home today that you need to know that there's purpose for you here at the River. There's life-giving water here at the River. There's a peace. If people just understand the heart, like Jesus here, we understand their sin. The Bible says we've all fallen short. But through his blood, we can be redeemed and we can have purpose in our life. And through this woman's testimony, many believed. And I challenge you tonight that through the word of your testimony, that you would reap a harvest because others have been planting seeds. And when you start sharing your testimony of what God did for you, that God brought you out of this mess and God helped your finances here and God restored your marriage here and God broke off the addictions here and God gave you purpose here and God gave you friends here and God gave you a home here and a job and people, that testimony that people would believe. And I pray tonight that through this teaching that anybody listening would be encouraged to know if he can do that for me, he can do that for you. If he can do that for this woman who felt isolated, he can do it for you. Amen? So it's time. It's time to think about where we're at with the Lord. It's time to call upon him that we may be a witness and share that which is in us. It's time to no longer be afraid to share the gospel. If the living water is in you, then we must be prepared to share it with others. And I pray tonight that you be encouraged to share your testimony and make your decision tonight before the time runs out to make Jesus Lord of your life. Start today. Make today a new day. Make today be a new season. Put away the water pot of the past. Put away, let go of the junk. Let go of the big bag of bricks. And say, I'm going to turn to the Lord. And I'm going to be filled up with what he provides. What, not with the world, but what Jesus provides. And I'm going to live. That's going to be my food. That's going to be my drink. That's going to be what I'm going to hunger. And that's what I'm going to thirst for. And I'm going to go after. And I pray that you would make it your choice this Sunday to join us here at the river and let us know that you've made a choice. You maybe put on the broadcast, today I've decided for me and my house we're going to serve the Lord. Let us know that through this message, I'm going to make today different than yesterday. I'm going to start going a different way. And I'm going to start not relying on what the world gives me. I'm going to rely on what God gives me and strength to get by, and I'm going to get in his word, and I'm going to know that I'm somebody special. I'm going to know that you're valuable to God, that you have purpose. Amen. And I pray that this message has touched you and everyone here listening and everybody on the FM to know that God loves you and wants to see great things for you. And we'll see you this Sunday, and better yet, we hope to see you this Saturday and get to know each other. God bless you. Until the next time here at the river.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.